This morning's scripture reading will come from Romans 5, 8, and 9. Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God demonstrates his own love for us like this. While we were still fallen sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's anger through him?
It's good to see you all here today. It's good to be here. I kind of like this. I can see you guys. You can see the whites of your eyes. That's an important historical statement. Anyway, I'm going to kind of build on what Mickey had to say at the table this morning. Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States. It's observed the last Monday of May. It's designed to honor and mourn U.S. military personnel who died while serving in the armed forces. Again, it was originally called Decoration Day, and it did begin shortly after the American Civil War. Over time, it has expanded to honor all military personnel who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Memorial Day serves as a reminder of the sacrifices made for the nation and is marked by many, many ceremonies. We're going to talk about memorials today, and there's various memorials that we can relate to. Many times you'll see a flyover and one of the planes will peel off, and that's called the missing man formation. It's to honor those pilots in war who are no longer with us. You could go to Washington, D.C., and you could stand at the Vietnam Memorial, where it's got the names of all the soldiers who died in Vietnam. I hear it's a very peaceful and reflective place. The wall was made so it would reflect your image. I'd like to go see that sometime. Here in Westerville, over every Memorial Day weekend, they have the Field of Heroes, and you'll see many, many, many flags over there. And it's a good opportunity for us to build upon the patriotism we have, to pass on the values that we have as Americans, and to think about those who have fought for very hard-won freedoms that we have in this country. Not all memorials are clear-cut, or as I would like to say, are not enjoyed as they should be, or not as remembered as should be. We've gone through a spate over the last several years where people go down and tear down statues, especially Civil War statues. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm a good Union boy. I'm all for the Union. We're glad Archie's not here today because he's more Confederate than I am. But a lot of those statues were not put up to honor those guys. They were put up in the 60s during the Civil War nightmare. I don't like memorializing the enemy. That doesn't say that I want to get rid of history. I think it's important for us to understand history. And I think it's important for us to understand that those who stood up for things that were contrary to the values of our Constitution should not be praised. Now, I know there's a gentlemanly thing about the Civil War. One of my favorite things, I saw a documentary about the 50th anniversary of Gettysburg. And somebody got it in their head to redo the Pickett's Charge. And so you had all these Union soldiers up at the wall, and you had these Confederates coming across. And They got up to the wall, and the Union soldiers just went, "No, no, no." And they went out to them. 15,000 men walked across that field and got shot during the Confederate War. And it said that afterwards, you couldn't walk across that battlefield without stepping on a body part. That's how bad it was. Kara and I went over there a few years ago, 2010. Boy, that's longer than a few years ago. We went over there in 2010, and there's a barn that's there that they used as a hospital. And they had to drill holes in the floor to let the blood drain out from the surgeries that they were doing on men, amputations, and the horrors of war. It was terrible. I spent a number of years at Harding University, and, you know, kids that are 18 to 21, they don't really know what life's about yet. Sorry, no offense. You know, they were still fighting the Civil War down there. And my senior year down there, I got to take a trip with the American Studies program where we'd go meet business leaders and do other things. And as part of that trip, we went to Atlanta. At that time, Atlanta had a museum called the Galleria. And what they did was they had a very large painting of the Battle of Gettysburg. And it was in a circle, and it was attached on one end. And they built out a diorama. And you sat in this theater, and they would highlight different parts of that painting and talk about the battle. And I left that, and I said, you know what? This is no joke. Men died. Men fought. Men put their lives on hold for a civil war that should never have happened. So memorials are tough. You know, even the 911 memorial in New York City is not without controversy. Some of the criticisms that they have, some argues that it simplifies the complex events of 911. Others criticize its lack of sensitivity, particularly regarding the gift shop. A gift shop? I didn't know they had a gift shop there. And hijackers' photos. And I know there was other arguments about that. The families wanted their loved ones thought about a certain way. Memorials are to evoke emotion. A memorial is to remind us of something. And so when someone wants their family member thought of in a certain way, and you introduce things to it that are not quite what they should be, it's going to cause pain and problems. Well, this morning we partake of communion. And there's no controversy around communion. You either believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on a cross for you, or you don't. There's no middle ground. And when we partake of communion, it's there for us to remember the greatest gift that was given to us, reconciliation with God and cleansing of our sins. The person who gave the most to free us was Jesus Christ. You think about all the battles that have been fought. You know, I often think of Jack Gascala. He was a member at Spring Road and previously to that in Northland, somebody I grew up with. And I have a couple of watercolor paintings in my office at work. And I think of him. He was in the Navy, and he was there on D-Day. When you think of all these people and how war has touched their life, and the great things that they've done in service to our country, all of that pales in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done for humanity. We were dead in our sins, and he made it possible for us to have eternal life. We were dead in our sins, and he was able to wipe away those sins. He gave us the most. He gave his life on the cross, so that men and women could be free from sin in judgment in hell. This is the greatest sacrifice anyone has ever made. He fought a battle that was penultimate, that determined whether we as humankind, as God's creation, would have a future. And he fought that battle and he won. As part of his sacrifice, Jesus was arrested, beaten, mocked, and thrashed. They spit directly into his face and beat him over the head with sticks of wood. They nailed his hands and his feet to a cross. Why did he do this? He did it to give his life blood through those wounds. He said in Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He knew we didn't understand. He knew that our sins, we didn't understand how much we were doomed. But he gave his life so that we could be reconciled. Memorials affect us in various ways. They provide a physical location for memories. You know, if you go over to Pennsylvania, there's a field over there where an airline crashed during 9/11. If you go to Gettysburg, there's a battlefield there. You can see things. Well, what happens with us at the communion? We have the table. The table is where we center and we reflect around what God has done for us through His Son and how we are impacted by it. Memorials can evoke emotional responses. They help us cope with our grief and remind us of the value of life. Do we have grief about our sin? And are we reminded of the value of a soul when we stand around this table? Are we reminded that God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son? Over time, the meaning of memorials may change, reflecting evolving societal values and the passage of time. When we partake of communion, that never changes. It's been consistent from the day that Jesus set it up. Over 2,000 years, Christians have met around the table to take of the bread and the fruit of the vine in remembrance of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. A memorial can promote collective healing and understanding of past events. It can foster empathy and remembrance among communities. We as Christians, when we surround the table, remember the blessings that are provided to us through a Savior who is risen. We come together and identify as a body. We come together and put aside all of our other identities to say we are Christians and we believe in Jesus Christ. No political party, no societal status of wealth or non-wealth, no race, nothing. All that is nothing compared to coming around the table. We are a community that proclaims Christ. Memorials shape society's values and perception of past events. You know, some people look at communion and they think, well, that's just something ceremonial we do. No, you're proclaiming Christ. And when you partake of the emblems, you're telling others, I believe that He died for me. I believe that He was raised for me. And I believe He's coming back again. It strengthens our conviction. It tells us that there's something greater than we are. And it motivates us to go out and tell others about Jesus. Memorials are not just dead things. There's a purpose to them. You know, Kara gets irritated with me because I like to watch war movies. I don't watch them for the violence. Maybe when I was 18, I thought, yeah, oh, look at that tank blow up that other one. Yeah, that was cool. I like to think at 62 years old, I've grown up a little bit. She doesn't understand. That's okay. She still loves me. I don't like watching rom-coms either, so there you go. but I like to remember what men did for this country. I like to understand. I'm really, some of the documentaries that come on to talk about different battles, I really get into that. I like to understand what history says and hear stories that I haven't heard of before about people who have done great things for this country. I like to understand more about Jesus when we come around the table. I like to understand the different perspectives that men bring to the table to lead us in thought and to help us to build our faith. And when we do that, we leave here stronger, we leave here better. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us." We use this passage a lot of times to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But don't gloss over this. Why did He do it? God demonstrates His own love towards us. He did it to demonstrate His love. Love, love, love. You know, when I think of those guys who were in trenches and in aircraft and getting shot down, and I think of the USS Arizona, why do those guys join up? Yeah, there were some after Pearl Harbor was bombed that just wanted revenge. But many of them wanted to go out and protect a way of life. They love their families. They love their country. They loved being able to be American. And so they went out and they volunteered. They didn't have to be drafted. They went out and they volunteered. They demonstrated their love through their action. Do we, after we've partaken of the emblems, demonstrate our love? Do we go do acts of service in the name of Jesus? Do we commit ourselves to helping one another walk towards heaven? Do we dedicate ourselves to knowing more about who Jesus is? That God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. 1 Peter 2:24, "And He Himself brought our sins into His body upon the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds you were healed." Jesus took it on. You know, there's times I just don't want to do something. I'll do it because I, you know, love my wife. But and sometimes she'll say, "Will you do this?" And it's been a long week, and I'm pretty comfortable on the couch, and the dog's on my lap, and okay. You don't read in the scriptures where Jesus was grudging about going to the cross. Yes, He cried. He gave up great drops of as of blood. And He didn't want to go. But guess what? He loved us. And He was willing. And in doing so, our wounds were healed. I don't think we often understand that our sin has wounded us. I'll let you think about that one for a while. This afternoon, think about how sin has wounded you. So what does Jesus ask us to do in return? He simply says, "Do this in remembrance of me." In 1 Corinthians 11:24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25 says, "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Why did Jesus want to be remembered? Because he gave the greatest sacrifice and he poured out all his love. That's something that we should not take for granted, and why we come together every first day of the week. I know you've heard these things before, but it's important for us to hear them and hear them and hear them again and adopt them in our hearts. It's important for us to cherish our time together around the table. So this morning I want to ask you, will you remember Christ and his love for you? John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him." Will you remember Christ and his love for you? This morning, if we can help you in your remembrance, maybe you've been struggling in your Christian life and you need to remember him more during the week so that you're stronger. If you've not ever put Christ on in baptism and you realize how great the sacrifice that he gave is and the life that he offers you and that your sins can be washed away, we would love to help you if you'd please come while we stand and sing.